Welcome to the Torati Mechanach Yomi with the OU Women's Initiative. My name is Chanalei Rappaport, and today we will be learning Sefer Shmuel Beis Perek Chaf, Chapter 20. Yoav's men have killed Avshalom, and the revolt is over. David returns to Yerushalayim. However, even this is not uncomplicated. An argument broke out between the men of Yehuda and the men of Yisrael. The people of Yehuda had accompanied him home, feeling like they had that privilege, because they are family. However, the people of Yisrael were unhappy. We are the majority of the Jewish nation, and we also want to be included. Our perek ended with this argument, and perek chaf begins with the words, Visham, and there, Nikra, happened to be Ish Bli'al. A person will explain what Bli'al means in a minute. There happened to come a person. Now, whenever we have the words happen to come in Tanakh, it's a sign for us that this is not coincidence. Nothing is ever coincidence, but certainly this is not a coincidence. And the Visham and there tells us that this is a direct continuation from the last parak. They were arguing about whose king he was. And the response is, an Ish Bli'al, Ushmoy Sheva ben Bichri. His name was Sheva ben Bichri, Ish Yemini, a man from Binyamin. Vayiska b'shofar, he blows on a shofar and he says, Ein lanu chelak b'David, v'lay nachla lanu b'ven Yishai. We have no portion with David. We have no reason to be with Ben Yishai. Ish la'oy halav Yisrael. People, go home. Go back to your tent. When it says Bli'al, it's a reference to Bli'al, without a yoke, usually talking about either immorality or avodah zarah, to tend to go together. And the Mechilta says that what he was really saying was Ish le'elohav Yisrael. Go to your avodah zarah. Leave the tent of David, who is trying to build the Beis HaMikdash, a place for Hashras Ashrina. By destroying Malchus Beis David, he was trying to create the chaos which would lead to avodah zarah. The Gemara in Sanhedrin tells us that we have met this man before. He is Micha, who established Pesel Micha in Sefer Shoftim. He is also Nevat, as in the father of Yeravam ben Nevat, who is eventually going to split the Melucha in the time of Rechavam, the son of Shlomo HaMelech. We learned in the last parak that the Melucha is going to be split, and really it could have happened right here, except Hashem wanted the Beis HaMikdash to be built first. In his incarnation as Micha, the Pasuk says that Micha had a Beis Elohim, he had a house of Avodah Zarah, and then Bayamim Haheim, Ein Melech B'Yisrael, in those days there was no king in Yisrael, Ish HaYashar Be'einav Ya'aseh, people did what they wanted. He was trying to return to that situation of anarchy. And as the father of Yeravam, who's going to set up Avodah Zarah in Dan, and in Beersheba, and not allow the Jews to be Oyla Regal, because if they would see Rechavam sitting on the throne, and he too, like his father, wanted to take away from Malchus Beis David. Vaya'al kol ish Yisrael me'acharei David, acharei Sheva ben Bichri, and all the people of Israel left David and went after Sheva ben Bichri, all people from Israel, ve'ish Yehuda davku b'malkam, but the people from Yehuda, they stuck to their king, min hayarden vad Yerushalayim, and brought him to Yerushalayim. When it says kol ish Yisrael, all the people of Israel, we're talking about even Shimi ben Gera. He's still apologizing to David for cursing him as he was running away from Avshalom, and David HaMelech is forgiving him. And now, so soon after this revolt, he is already leaving together with kol ish Yisrael. And now David comes back to Yerushalayim, and we have a bit of a diversion from the story of Sheva ben Bichri, and we see that David's first action was to undo the terrible Chil Hashem caused by Avshalom when Avshalom took his Pilakshim. And so David sets his Pilakshim up in a different house. He wanted to be Mefarsim, he wanted to publicize that they were no longer in his palace, but that he was taking care of them. The question is, why do we have to have the story here in the middle of the whole story of Sheva ben Bichri? And it seems like that David understands that everything that happens has a spiritual connection, and therefore he has to make sure that everything in his house is in the right order. It's actually halachically unclear whether David had to take the Pilakshim out of his house, meaning whether he wasn't allowed to be with them anymore, but he wanted there to be an added level of Kedusha and to separate himself, and so that it will give him the added strength to overcome this next test that is coming his way. David calls Amasa. Amasa is David's nephew. Amasa had gone onto Avshalom's team. Amasa was Avshalom's Sartzava, and David had forgiven him. And David says to him, "You're going to be my Sartzava. I want you to gather me an army and return here in 3 days." But Amasa doesn't come back in time. He is late. The Gemara tells us why he's late. He says that the soldiers were learning and he didn't want to disturb them, but David didn't know why he was late, and he was worried. Perhaps Amasa is being disloyal. Perhaps it was a mistake to make him my Sartzava, and he was nervous for another reason, too. He knew that he had to get on top of the situation of Sheva ben Bichri. So in Pasuk Vav, verse 6, Vayomer David al Avishai. Avishai is a different nephew. And he says to him, "Ata now yira lanu Sheva ben Bichri min Avshalom. If we don't get on top of Sheva ben Bichri, it's going to be worse than Avshalom. There's a standing army in Yerushalayim controlled by Yoav." David was still unhappy with Yoav because Yoav had undermined a direct command from the king to leave Avshalom alive, and Yoav told his people to kill Avshalom. So he's still unhappy with Yoav, but he hadn't removed him from his position. So David tells Avishai, "Take this army, Yoav's army, and go and fight Sheva ben Bichri." And even though David told Amasa to go, Yoav, who was there, went with him. And they're standing by the Evan HaGadoyla, Va'amasa Balifneim. Pasuk Ches, verse 8. Amasa is coming. And Yoav was wearing a sword. He was wearing a uniform, and he had a sword in a sheath. And the sword fell out. It's unclear whether Yoav planned this whole thing and he made it fall out purposely so he could have it in his hand, or it fell out and once it's there on the floor, he quickly picked it up and he had the sword in his hand, and on impulse he decides that he's going to kill Amasa. Pasuk Tes. Vayomer David Yoav el Amasa, and Yoav says to Amasa, "Hashalom atachi, are you coming here in peace?" Now, I read it very nicely. There's another way we could read it. We're not sure, but Hashalom atachi, now you're coming in peace? Meaning, now you're on our side? V'teiches yad yamin Yoav b'skan Amasa l'nshoik loy. And what Yoav does is he pulls the beard of Amasa towards him in order to kiss him. He's not really just going to kiss him, as we'll see. But Yoav is going to take action against Amasa, even though David made peace with him, because he thought that this is necessary in order for the kingdom to flourish. Yoav was upset. Yoav was upset because he is once again going out to another battle against the Jews who keep on changing sides. And he bumps into Amasa, who is a symbol for him of the kind of rebel who relies on the good graces of David. You can go and join Avshalom's side and be his Sartzava, and then he'll forgive you. And now you're going to be on David's side and he's going to make you the top of his team. He feels like if I kill Amasa, I will prevent a lot of future bloodshed. I will show the people that they cannot rebel against David. They just cannot keep on doing this. But Amasa lo nishmar b'cher v'sher b'yad Yoav. He wasn't careful. He didn't pay attention. And Yoav hits him and he kills him. And Yoav and Avishai continue their chase after Sheva ben Bichri. I feel like we're getting a little bit of a narrow view of Yoav. We spoke about what happened with Avner and Avshalom, and now with Amasa. The Gemara in Sanhedrin speaks about the tzidkus, the greatness of Yoav, that his house was like a midbar open to all, and his chesed and his tzedakah. Here we are seeing a very one-dimensional portrayal of him when there is so much more, and we understand why he did what he did. How could he kill him? Even if he was a Marid B'Malchus, even if he looks at him a Marid B'Malchus, it would be in the purvey of the king, not of any person, but a person who is Cholek al Malchus based David. Everyone has an obligation. Everyone has the obligation to make sure that this doesn't happen. And Yoav and Avishai are running after Sheva ben Bichri, and they left a man. There was a man on the road, and the man is trying to get people to move, not to pay attention to the corpse of Amasa, and to go on, because there must have been some sort of reaction, and people didn't want to go after Yoav. They weren't sure whether to trust Yoav, but this man told them. He said in Pasuk Yeralev, verse 11, "Vayomer mi asher chafetz b'Yoav, the people who want Yoav, umi asher leDavid." But if you're going after Yoav, you're also going after David, acharei Yoav. If you are on David's side, then you must go after Yoav. You must get to Sheva ben Bichri. And he saw that people were still stopping to see Amasa, so he moved him off the road and he covered him. And now we're going to go back to Sheva ben Bichri, who had gathered many Jews to go after him. And he comes to a place called Avel Beis Ma'acha, Or perhaps it was Ovel near Beis Ma'acha, and the army of Yoav comes to surround them in the city. They had already broken down the outer walls, Yoav's army, and were coming to attack the inner defenses. And they're going to raise the city to the ground if they need to. And then, Vatikra Pasuk Tesayin, Isha Chachama Min Ha'ir. An Isha Chachama calls out from the city, and she says, Shimu, Shimu, listen to me. Imri Na'al Yoav, I want to speak to Imri Na'al Yoav. Say it to Yoav. Krav Ad Hena. Come here, Vadabra Elach, I want to speak to you. They sent an Isha Chachama, someone who would be able to talk to him, and yet someone who wasn't threatening, so that he would listen. Chazal teach us that this was Sarach Bas Asher. And she said to him, don't you know that before coming to fight a city, you need to ask first for peace? And you didn't ask for peace? And she says, Anochi Shlume Emune Yisrael. I am here, now on a simple level, on a pshat level, I am here to make peace between us, members of Klal Yisrael, and I'm coming to represent the city who also want to make peace with you. We are not rebels, and we are not out to harbor a criminal. He happened to come here. But on a deeper level, I am the peacemaker of Klal Yisrael. Sarach Bas Asher, throughout her history, has always been as a connector, as the one who makes peace. She was the one to facilitate the reuniting of Yosef and Yaakov by telling Yaakov that Yosef was alive. And as a result, she got a bracha from Yaakov for a long life, and indeed she lived one. She was the one who was Mekasher, who connected between Klal Yisrael and Moshe, because she was the one who, when Moshe comes and she says, Pakoid Pakadati, in the name of Hashem, I have remembered you, they didn't know whether to believe him or not, Klal Yisrael. And Sarach, who had been alive at the time that Yaakov was alive, said, that's the code word. I was told that the person who's going to take us out of here is going to say, Pakoid Pakadati, listen to him. Trust him. And she did it again by connecting the Aron of Yosef and Moshe Rabbeinu, because Yosef made them promise that they would take the Aron out, and the Mitzrayim had hid the Aron, the coffin of Yosef, and she was the one who was able to direct Moshe to find the coffin, and she always is the one who created bridges, and now she's going to do it again. She is going to be the Shlume Emune Yisrael, the one to create the peace, to take down the barriers. Yoav responds to her and says, Chalila, Chalila, no, no, I wouldn't want to do that. I wouldn't want to destroy the city. Two Chalilas, one for Yoav and one for David. I have nothing against the city, but we must take place of Sheva ben Bichri, who is fighting against Bimelech b'David, the king, and against David. Even if it was just the king and not David, or even if it was just David and he wasn't a king, we would have to take care of Sheva ben Bichri. And he says to him, if you want to make sure that we don't destroy the city and don't tear it down, and you say you're Shlume Emune Yisrael, and you're still harboring the rebel there, then we're going to have to destroy the city. So you better get us, Sheva ben Bichri. So she goes back to the city, and she comes to them with Chachma. The Mefarshim said that she told them first that they would have to give up 100 people to appease Yoav. And then she let them sit with it for a little, and then she said, I got him down to 50, to 10, to 1, only 1, and he's not even one of ours. He's a fugitive here. And at this point, she got them to easily acquiesce, and they cut off his head and presented it to Yoav. There's a halacha question here about being allowed to do such a thing. If a non-Jew, for example, would come and say, give over 1, or we will kill all. The Nazis, Yimach Shemam, used to play these kinds of games, and they would say, either you choose 10 people for us to kill, or we're going to come and choose 100. And the halacha is, you can't give, you can't choose one, meaning we're not allowed to play God, we're not allowed to do that. But if they say, give us a specific one, like by Sheva ben Bichri, that's what the halachic discussion goes, if they say, give us this one, like Sheva ben Bichri, you can give him over. Say some of them Mefarshim. Also, if it's clear that they will be able to kill them all, meaning everyone is inside the city, not that they will possibly be able to kill individuals, but they will certainly be able to kill Sheva ben Bichri and all of us, were able to give him over. And also, he was Chayev Misa, meaning even if he was able to escape, he has to be killed because of what he did to David, because he is a Marid B'Malchus. So perhaps for one or for all of these reasons, they were able to give him over. The parak ends with an accounting of David HaMelech's staff. Now, we have this accounting at the end of Perek Ches. There are some small changes here, which are actually quite significant, but I'm not going to go into them for lack of time. However, it's important to list all these people again and to list the whole cabinet again, because he's reestablishing his melucha now. He's coming back to Yerushalayim and he's reestablishing his melucha, so it's important for us to get this accounting. And the parak ends in parak pasuk chav vav, verse 26, v'gam ira ha-ya'iri haya kohen le-David. And also, ira, the ya'iri, was the kohen for David. In the last accounting, his sons were called kohanim, meaning his seconds in command. But after Avshalom, he wants to be careful not to give any of his sons too much of a position. He doesn't want any more trouble. So instead he took Ira HaYairi, who was the Kohen to David. Rashi says that he was an actual Kohen, meaning the sons of David, of course, were not Kohanim. They were from Shevet Yehuda, and it just meant that they were second in commands. But here Rashi says, this Ira HaYairi is a special Kohen, was actually a Kohen, whom he gave all of his presents to. There's a Gemara in Eruvin that says, a person who gives all of his presents just to one Kohen, mevi ra'av la'olam, brings famine to the world, because he gave all of the presents to that one person. Although there are other reasons why there will be a ra'av, a famine, in the next parak, as we will see, the connection here makes us stop and think. As a king, David had enough presents to support many families, and perhaps he should have, because perhaps he should have been able to share the wealth. But we will talk a lot more about this famine in tomorrow's parak. Thank you for studying together. Le'ilu nishmot imahotena yikarot, Esther Oppenheimer ala ha'shalom, and Sarah Shankar ala ha'shalom, each deeply devoted and proud to transmit their family's Torah legacies to the next generations.